What is the best kept secret?
All right, testing 1, 2. Let's make sure the microphone is coming in. Can you guys hear me okay out there? Just let me know if you can hear it and it's coming in good.
Mighty fellowship of saints.
right. Amen. I hope you like that song, and I hope you can hear me okay. I'm pretty sure you can anyway. You can't see me today, but that's okay. You don't need to see me. You can just listen to what I have to say. The problem is that I don't know what the deal is with this program and my camera. It works fine with the other camera. It's not working with this one. So I'm not going to worry about it. And this way I can just continue on and we can continue to have a broadcast and not worry about it for now. And we'll figure it all out here as time goes by and get it all straight. But right now, we will just have to go with it like this. But praise the Lord, that was some good hymns, some good singing there. I like good hymns. I praise God for them. There are different types of hymns that are a blessing to the people of God. Some of those hymns happen to be more devotional in that sense. They happen to be those that are, those that are more centered on sorrow and pain and challenges and all those things. And others, are more praise and worship to the point of exciting us in the Lord in that sense. And we need both of those kind. We need both types of hymns. It's very important that we listen to all of those types of hymns because they all tell a story. It's kind of like this. When you read the Psalms, those are songs. And when you read the Psalms, what you understand is that there are different types of Psalms. Some Psalms are like the song Worship the King. I Want That Mountain, things like that. Some of those are like that. Others are more somber. They're more sober. They're more reflective, dealing with anguish and dealing with heartache and pain and all those kind of things. So it definitely takes all kinds of different music to really, for the Christian life. And you're going to find that out as you go. And then when you listen to when you read these Psalms and you sing some of the Psalms, you'll actually understand that better. And when you go through some challenges and trials in life, you'll understand some of those things a lot better than what you do now. But anyway, so hopefully it's all, you're hearing me loud and clear here. I don't anticipate a ton of people being on here today just because we're going into a busy time here in the next couple days where people aren't going to be really probably on here that much, which is fine with me. But I wasn't going to talk about this. I was going to talk about something else, but I think I'll save that probably for next week. I want to do a little more research on it before I talk about it. So I'll probably end up talking about it, but I want to do a broadcast and I want to deal with marijuana, mental health, and the Christian. And I want to talk about that a little bit and vaping, marijuana, mental health, vaping, and the Christian, and kind of deal with some of those things. So sometime here, I think next week after everything slows down, everybody's back to normal schedule, and everybody's back into their normal routine, I'll do that, and we'll deal with that. So we'll look at some of those things here in the future. I look forward to talking about that subject. I think it's very important to deal with. Let's see, who's on here before we get started? We got Eli Morgan was number one. How about that? The Sullivan Kid, number two. Carl Winters. We think that's his name. Jacob Terry. Jesus is Lord. Let's see. Texas Cindy. The first live broadcast you've caught in a while, huh? Maritas. Dwayne Erickson, The Authorized Mike, Joe McDonald, does not have a farm. Let's see. Maybe he does have a farm. I've never asked him. Let's see. Yeah, that's it, huh? Let's see if anybody else is on here. Oh, that's not it. Lisa, Janine, Big Whale. All right. Eli Morgan trucking. Jacob's a truck driver. I have all kinds of memes about Jacob. One of those is trucking with Jake. One is called staking with Jake. I've got all these pictures of Jacob doing different things. And it's actually pretty funny, but. All right, let's see what we got here. Boy, I don't know why my throat feels like it's kind of out of, maybe it's from yelling yesterday. I was preaching. Maybe I was yelling too loud. I started a new series. I don't know when we'll get it on Psalm 103. And one thing I figured out, let me give you a hint to something that might be a blessing to you, that might help you out here. One of the things that I started to do is memorize scripture, because I just started doing it again here a few days ago, probably about 4 days ago. And the reason I was doing in my devotion in Psalm 103, and I was like, you know, I'm going to memorize some of this. And I started in the first like 15, 20 minutes, I had memorized five verses, and I was like, wow, praise the Lord. And then I just kept going. And right now I'm at 14 verses in about 3 days. And those 14 verses, there's 22 verses in the psalm. And I started, and after I started going over those verses, the first five verses, the Lord just began to give me a sermon series out of that. So I'm preaching a series out of Psalm 103. And we're going to deal with Psalm 103 and started out, and I only got through one verse. It was about an hour and, I don't know, 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, one verse. So the second verse will start this coming Sunday, Lord willing. But anyway, it's been a blessing to be able to do that already, and I'm enjoying it. But I found that with anxiety and depression and things like that, your mind, it tends to loop, and it'll go over the same stuff over and over again. So you can actually use that affliction or that infirmity for the glory of God, and you can actually use it to memorize scripture. So that's what I did. It's like kind of like putting it into your mind like a machine, putting it in there, and it churns it around and around and around and around. And the way my mind works, like that with anxiety and things like that, it'll loop around the same things. So with that, I just have it loop around scripture, and I'm using it to memorize, and I've memorized 14 verses in the last 3 or 4 days. And I plan on doing the entire chapter. And it really helps with preaching and everything, to be memorizing that, to be meditating upon that, to be allowing that into your mind. And I think it would help you, some of you that may suffer from some of that, from worrying or from other things like that, that if you put scripture in your mind like that and you keep your mind busy, because see, with anxiety and things like that, your mind is overactive. It just wants to keep going and moving and moving and moving and moving and moving. Well, what you do is use it for the glory of God. Yeah, try memorizing an ESV, Mike said. It's like the voice of a stranger. Yeah, I couldn't do that. I've read some of those, and they just sound retarded to me. They sound like they're mentally challenged, like some foolish person wrote most of them. They just have no rhythm to them. They have no, it's really strange. Well, my long-term memory, I can't remember things in the past. But with anxiety, what happens is you only deal with current things. So if you have, if you've dealt with things in the past, memory issues, which I have memory issues in the past that I can't remember, but currently those things will stay in your memory. That's how it works. All right. Someone said it'd be awesome if you did a study on Psalm 119. That would take a very long time. Psalm 119 would take an extreme amount of time. Okay, so this brings me to another situation here. That I kind of want to talk about. And that is self-defense and the church shooter. There's a rise of these, I think. And, you know, most people are going to say, well, that's a, I don't know, false flag or something. I hope nobody says that, but even if it was, some people still got killed. I did think it was weird. Okay, I'm just going to say it. I hate to be spooky and all conspiratory. But I do think it's kind of weird that it was an ex-FBI agent that shot the terrorist guy. I thought that was kind of weird. I was like, why does that stuff always have to happen, right? But it does. But that's not the point. The point that I'm trying to make here is that this gunman kills two at White Settlement Church before two members fatally shoot him. Two of those members were armed. And when that man stood up and started shooting, they became the target for him to shoot at. And he shot the one man that was shooting at him, and then the other man dropped him, from what I understand. Now, here's what it says here. Law enforcement officially credited members of the church security team for ending the attack quickly. Now, I wouldn't tell you, well, we'll get to that in a second. A gunman killed two people during a Sunday morning service at a church in White Settlement before members of the congregation fatally shot him, authorities say. Police in White Settlement, about 8 miles west of Fort Worth, were called before 11 a.m. to the West Freeway Church of Christ at 1900 South Las Vegas Trail. After two members who were part of the church's security team opened fire on the gunman. MedStar spokesman Masara Trusty soon reported that the gunman and one of his victims had died at the hospital. The second victim was resuscitated. I thought it was resuscitated. Oh, resuscitated, yeah. I was like, why is that spelled so weird? Resuscitated after going into cardiac arrest on the way to the hospital. But authorities announced at the evening news conference the person died later. Authorities have not released the names of the gunmen and the people he killed. But the daughter of one of the victims told that her father, Anton Tony Wallace, was killed in the church shooting. Tiffany Wallace told the station she ran to her father after she realized he had been shot. I was just holding him, telling him I loved him and he was going to make it, she told KXAS TV. Two other people were treated at the scene for minor injuries they suffered when they hit their heads while they were ducking for cover. We lost two great men today, but it could have been a lot worse. And I'm thankful our government has allowed us the opportunity to protect ourselves, said Britt Farmer, the church's senior minister. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, speaking at the evening news conference, highlighted changes in the state law that ensured the right to carry concealed weapons in churches. He credited the church's volunteer security team for protecting their fellow members. The heroism today is unparalleled, Patrick said. This team responded quickly, and within 6 seconds, the shooting was over. All that happened in 6 seconds. The FBI said Sunday evening that the gunman had been arrested in different jurisdictions but declined to go into detail about any charges he faced. Although the man had roots in the area, it appears he may have been transient. White Settlement Police Chief J.P. Bevering said the Texas Department of Public Safety will lead the investigation into the shooting. Authorities did not release any information about the possible motive. Law enforcement officials said there was no ongoing threat to the public, and they praised the members of the church security team for ending the attack within seconds. So, what they did was they ended the attack right away in 6 seconds. All of that went down in 6 seconds. I know. It's weird, isn't it? Isn't that something? 6 seconds and the shooting ended. Think about that for a second. Geoff Williams, the regional director of the Texas Department of Public Safety, said there was an enormous police response Sunday morning to learn about what led to the shooting. He said the nation has seen so many shootings that we've actually gotten used to it. I would like to point out that we have a couple of heroic parishioners, Williams said. Our hearts are going out to them and their families as well. He said their quick action had saved the lives of many other churchgoers. The citizens of this community have a lot to be proud of, Williams said. Matthew DeSarno, special agent in charge of the FBI Dallas office, said the agency was offering its resources to help with the investigation. So anyway, today evil walks boldly among us, he said, but let me remind you, good people raised up and stopped it before it could get worse. The police chief offered his condolences to the victims as well as the churchgoers who survived the shooting. We're all hurting right now, and I just want your prayers for everybody this time, he said. Hours after the shooting, as churchgoers left the scene, John Richardson stood next to his wife, Diana, outside a Waffle House near the church. The couple had been married 47 years and have attended Freeway Church of Christ for more than half of that. Richardson said that in his years since his wife suffered a brain injury in a car crash, he has learned to keep such tragedies in perspective. Once you've been through something traumatic like that, you already appreciate life that much more. He said he had no hate for the gunman, who he called one of God's creations. You can't have hate for people, Richardson said. You can't have hate for anybody. Well, I agree that you can't hate him, but he needs justice. That's what he needed. Swift justice. A live stream video that captured the shooting appeared to have been removed from the church's YouTube page shortly after the attack, but copies are circulating on social media. In the video, the gunman, who is wearing what seems to be a dark-colored hood, gets up from a pew in the back of the room and walks up to a man in a suit who is standing in the corner. As the two speak and the man points to his right, the gunman reaches into his jacket and pulls out a shotgun. A man sitting nearby stands up and reaches toward the back of his waistband as several others start to take cover, but most people in the sanctuary appear to be unaware of what is happening. The gunman fires twice while stepping backward down the aisle, striking the man who stood up and then the man that he first approached. Another man then pulls out a handgun and fires once, striking the gunman just as he turns toward the front of the room. 6 seconds have elapsed since the gunman pulled out his gun. After the gunman's first shot, nearly everyone in the room startles, trying to find the source of the noise. As the gunman fires again, most of the worshippers begin ducking behind the pews, and a church leader standing on the stage dives into the floor. Several people in the opposite corner run up the aisle toward an exit, leaving papers and a book scattered in their wake. One woman crawls, an older man who has turned to watch what's happening hardly moves. Screams fill the air as the gunman is shot and falls to the ground. A woman runs shrieking toward the victims as someone tries to help the first man who was shot, who is out of view. The second victim, who tumbled onto what appears to be a bench after he was shot, sits up. Meanwhile, at least five worshippers pull out guns and slowly approach the gunman. The man who shot the gunman kicks away the gunman's firearm and picks it up. That church elder, Mike Tinius, said the gunman had drawn the suspicion of a church security shortly before the shooting. He said he'd never seen the man and had no idea what his motive was for the attack might have been. By the sequence of events, it should be assumed that he came in with an idea. Governor Greg Abbott called the shooting an evil act of violence in a statement Sunday afternoon. Places of worship are meant to be sacred, and I am grateful for the church members who acted quickly to take down the shooter and help prevent further loss of life, Abbott said. Cecilia and I ask all Texans to join us in praying for the White Settlement community and for all those affected by this horrible tragedy. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton's office asked for prayers for the victims and families. Let's see. U.S. Attorney of the Northern District of Texas said details about the shooter are under investigation. No one should be subjected to gunfire in a house of worship. Sunday's attack came just over 20 years after a gunman walked into a Wednesday evening prayer service at Fort Worth's Wedgewood Baptist Church and killed four teenagers and three adults before fatally shooting himself. Seven more people were injured in the September 1999 attack. You see that, how that was stopped right away? I don't think it's too fast to react. I don't think it's too fast to react at all. If you've ever been in situations, and when you have men that's trained, that security team was trained. And let me just say, without giving any pertinent information away, I have men in this assembly that have been trained, law enforcement trained, and they know exactly how to respond. Within seconds, they would have responded the exact same way. The exact same way. I don't know, but I don't want to look into any conspiracy theories that I can't prove anything of. All I'm saying is that the reaction time of that man and the reaction time of what he did, he took him down and he ended the threat. That's what they did. And that's how it's supposed to be done. And that's how it's done in a lot of places. When you have... That's right. Slow is smooth and smooth is fast. I'm telling you, you can be up and on target when you're trained to do it, and your security, and you're trained in it, and you're trained security, you can be up and on law. You have to understand something. Law enforcement too. People that were in law enforcement, their minds don't think the same way as your mind thinks. Your mind thinks, well, how do I do that? No, these men spent hours training up and down to be up on target. Up and up on target. And they're trained with crisis training. They're trained to react to those situations that happen. And they're trained to react quickly. So it's already in their mind when they see something that's out of place. Remember what the man said. He said the security team was alerted to this man minutes before he attacked. They noticed something was wrong. I have guys in this church that can look at something like that and they can be like, something's wrong. That's not right. And they can see it right away because they're trained to notice things that are out of place, that are not supposed to be there. They're trained for it. So they're prepared for it. So they're prepared for those type of... Look what happened here in this church. Back in 1999, no one had a gun to stop that guy. Okay. So before... Anyway, so understand that. I've seen in training with people on the range, in talking with police officers, in talking with law enforcement, they know to look for things. This is why some of you don't understand why police pull certain vehicles over, because they're trained to see something that's there that just ain't right. Like, that's not supposed to look like that. That's weird. I'm telling you, I have guys around me that do the same thing. They look at something, they're like, you know what? That ain't right. That don't set well. They're trained, they've already have it ingrained in their mind to see that. I'll tell you this, as a martial artist that trained in fighting since I was like 10 years old, I look at things and I'm like, you know, that ain't right. I can tell by their body sometimes. I can tell by, just like when I'm grappling or rolling around on a mat with somebody or grappling with somebody, by their body I can feel which way they're moving and I know what to do by the way they're moving. Why? Because my mind has been trained to pick up on that. It's been trained to do that. And when you see something that's out of place, you're trained for it. Now, I want to read you, before we get into self-defense, I want to read you some things. I'm not going to give you the name of the person. But there's a lady on Facebook that really caused me to have this broadcast today. I mean, to talk about this subject anyway. Because I see this lady and she's got this post on here, and I'll be honest with you, it ticked me off right away. It really ticked me off. First of all, as a whole, most women don't make good law enforcement decisions, and they don't make good decisions based on security of a family and those kind of things. They don't make good decisions about things like that. That's why in war, guess what? In the Bible, women weren't a part of it. They don't think like men do. Men go to war and they don't think like men do. So this woman says, would Jesus shoot a killer in self-defense to save others? Well, I said a lot of things. But one thing I said was this. Well, Jesus wouldn't have to. He was God. I mean, he didn't have to. And let's understand one thing. Jesus came to this earth to die on the cross for sinners. That's why he came. He didn't come to get married, raise a family, have children. He didn't come for that reason. He had a specific mission to come and to die on the cross for sinners, to be buried and to rise again from the dead. The next time he comes back, oh, trust me, my friend, he comes back with that two-edged sword from his mouth. He comes back taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, when people come up with that, that type of an argument, well, would Jesus kill somebody? He's gonna throw them all into hell. He's going to throw them all into hell. That's what he's going to do. But the question that people... these comments just are so ridiculous. So they use Peter. Well, Peter chopped off the ear of Malchus, the servant. So that, the high priest's servant. So, I mean, he... You know, Jesus told him to put up his sword. Well, let's back up here a little bit, okay? Number one, Jesus was dealing with Peter before about Satan encouraging Peter to keep him from fulfilling all righteousness, to keep him from self-denial, to keep him from going to the cross. That's what that was about. Also, when Jesus was dealing with the centurions and the high priest police, they were the authority. They had the authority to take him, and that's why he submitted to their authority. It was lawful government. That's why he submitted to them. It wasn't some crazy killer that was coming to kill all of his disciples. So he just stood by and watched him do it. Right? It's asinine to even use those examples. And again, somebody said, well, would Jesus kill? He didn't have to. He's God. He didn't have to kill anybody. He's God. And he came with a specific purpose. And guess what? Jesus didn't have physical children and a wife to care for. That wasn't what he came for. Right, they make Jesus sound like he's effeminate. And that, see, that's what the whole problem is. And these women that get on there that say things like that and act like they're holy when they talk like that, it just, well, would Jesus have done that? So I asked a question. So then they use the verse, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Right. And that's what these two men did. They laid down their lives for their friends to defend everybody in that church. And they lost their lives because of it. They did lay down their lives. But there's nothing in the New Testament that says, stand there and be sitting ducks so some crazy man can come in and kill your wife and children and all your family and rape everybody and pillage every place and you just let him do that. That's just okay. That's the way it's supposed to be. That means you're turning the other cheek. That's stupid. And then another person said, well, not to mention, Jesus said, love your enemies. Oh, my goodness. So does loving my enemies mean I hate my friends? What is loving your enemies? Do you see how ignorant people are of the scriptures? How absolutely stupid they are? Social media has made the most gigantic, foolish, loudmouth speaking, immature children come out and act like theologians. What do I mean by that? Well, look what was just said. Listen to what I just said. Jesus said, love your enemies. Oh, I get it. So then when he talks about hurting one of the little ones, that a millstone should be hung around your neck and cast into the sea. What is he taught when he says love your enemies? I mean, what's this the context of? Let's look at it. You've heard them said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. He's talking about in your day-to-day relationships. It should be very common that Jesus is talking about dealing with your day-to-day relationship. How you deal with people every day. That those that Kevin just said this. Kevin said, I've heard a Mennonite say they would pray if their wife was being raped. I wouldn't pray. I'll tell you what, buddy, if you wouldn't do nothing about it, I'd jump over and I'd snap that guy's neck is what I'd do. Done. Or choke him out, whichever I had to do. That's terrible. No, it's not. He's raping somebody. That's not terrible. It's not terrible. It's not terrible. What it is it explains manhood. I wouldn't watch you getting raped, any of you, and not do anything about it. I wouldn't let that happen. I wouldn't let somebody hurt you. I'm not one of these veghead idiots that are out there that have watched so much violence on television and on YouTube and on everywhere else that they watch people get beat up on the side of the road. They don't do anything to stop it. They just sit there and watch them get beat up. No, I'm sorry. That ain't happening. It's absolutely asinine. the comment. But you can tell a woman is saying this. You can tell a woman is saying this. Because she's, these are all like effeminate men and women that are saying this. How, she says this, how can you die to self, which is a command, when you're willing to kill another for your own sake or for the sake of others? Dying to yourself is self-denial. It's not putting yourself before the Lord or before others. It's willing to put yourself before other people, not, are putting other people before yourself. It has nothing to do with defense of the weak. It's, that's the most insane thing I've ever heard. So I said this in my nice voice. Actually, it wasn't a voice. I wrote it. I said this to her. I said, you're a woman. And clearly have no idea what you were talking about. We are to protect the weak. To be a man means you protect others. But on another note, would you let someone harm your babies and watch and do nothing about it? Now listen, because I want to give you a warning here. Don't let people who say things like this ever watch your children. Here's what she said. Jason Cooley, with all due respect, I am still a disciple of Christ and read his teachings. I have not seen Jesus Christ command us to kill our enemies in the New Testament. God never commanded you to kill anybody. Nobody's telling you to kill them. I would never want harm to come to my babies if I was a mother. Oh, if I was a mother. So you see, she's not a mother. Because you know the women I know that are mothers, what they do? They'd rip your stinking eyeballs out and feed them to you if you tried to hurt their kids right in front of you. They'd rip your eyeballs out of your face. Is that too much for you? Is that too much testosterone flowing there? She said, I would never want harm to come to my babies if I was a mother, but there has to be another way. I believe in the power of spiritual warfare and God's supernatural protection. So let me get this straight. So God gave you these two hands, and God gave you Glock and Smith and Wesson, and God gave you, I don't know, all kinds of different weapons to protect your babies. And you're telling me you're going to sit there and say, God, please protect my babies, when God gave you all the tools necessary to protect them, and you're going to ask God to protect them? Well, I'd ask God to protect them too. I do every day. I pray every day for God to protect my family. I pray every day for Him to take care of my family. I pray every day for it, but I ain't going to stand there and pray while somebody's trying to kill my family. While somebody kicks the door open of the assembly and starts shooting at people. That's the nuttiest thing I've ever heard in my life. And believe me, I've seen a lot of nuts fall off of trees. I said, Deb, whoops, I almost gave her name, whoops. I said, yeah, you can spiritualize whatever you want, but your response is why women should not be in charge. That's what I said, because I'm mean. That's right, Lisa, a big old hammer. Hey, my wife's a good shot. I'm better than her now, but she's pretty good. She used to be better than me, but I got better. And then, of course, I quoted scripture, and then some lady goes, "Don't fear those who can kill the body." Well, who said I'm afraid? Wait. Who said I'm afraid? I think you're misunderstanding something, lady. I didn't say nothing about being afraid. I said something about ripping their face off and feeding it to them. That's what I said. I told them, I said, dying to self has nothing to do with not protecting others from evil. Anyway, so there's other idiotic comments. Some woman said, "I don't imagine Jesus would have a gun to start with." No, he's got a sword! And he's God! And when he comes back, he's burning it all down! These wonderful... So let me ask you a question. I want to ask everybody this question. Everybody on this thread. Let's see here. I'll give you a chance to answer it here. I'm going to play my Jeopardy music. Okay? Here's the question. Would you feel blessed by God if an attack broke out in your church and two men stood up and stopped the gunman from killing your children? I got the answer that I figured I would from many of these women and men on this thread that said the same thing, that, man, I'd be thanking God for that somebody pulled out a gun and stopped that carnage from happening. Well, it just baffles the mind because I think about that. And that guy picked the wrong church to go to, really. He thought he was going to get away with it, but he lost his life. Because he did it, and that's unfortunate. We don't want to see anybody die and go to hell. But you know something? I'd rather see that man die than kill a bunch of women and children and old people that are just sitting there worshiping God. And I mean, we're a church that believes in defending yourself. We're not one of those churches that doesn't. I don't understand that. It's crazy to me. It's absolutely crazy to me. But, you know, we're looking at this and I'm thinking to myself, this is how these people think. It's how they think. They think it's, they think that that's, that, oh, well, Jesus wouldn't do that. Well, the Bible deals with this issue. The Bible's not silent. Listen, I said this to our church yesterday in my sermon on Psalm 103, verse 1. I said this to them, and I said that every situation that you face in life is found in that book. It's found in God's Word. Secondly, I said, I would dare say that every situation you will find in life is found in those Psalms. I believe they're there. Now, we're not going out looking for a fight with anybody. Right? We're not looking for a fight with anybody. We don't want to fight him, but the devil, we want to fight him. But we're not looking, we don't want to hurt anybody. We never want to hurt anybody. The last thing you'd want to do is hurt somebody. Right? Exodus chapter 22, verse 2. But I get a kick out of even a Facebook stinking Pharisee can find a problem with some two people in a congregation of a church when a gunman goes in with a shotgun and wants to shoot the church up and kill a bunch of people, that two people from the assembly stand up and shoot that man and drop him down dead in his tracks. Some Facebook stinking Pharisee can find a problem with it. It shows you how social media, for the most part, just breeds a lot of stupidity. Exodus chapter 22, verse number 2. This is what we call a principle. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten, that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him. For he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. This guy's breaking up thieving and somebody catches him in the middle of the night, right? Comes in. They take care of him. Right? They finish him off. Which, well, they should. I mean, if they have to anyway. That's not the goal. The goal is to stop the threat. It's to end the threat. It's not to kill anybody. Those men weren't trying to kill that guy. They were trying to end the threat. There was a threat, an imminent threat to people's lives. So what were they doing? They were trying to stop the threat. End it. Which is what we're supposed to do. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. There's another verse. Let's see. Oh. Look at this. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. So you can sit there and watch your wife get raped? Wait a minute. Are you going to sit there and let some homo rape you? And say you're going to pray about it while some sodomite is raping you? Is that what these Mennonites and these and some of these other groups are saying, really? That they'd let some sodomite rape them and they wouldn't stop them? Really? So you'd let somebody rape your wife and you just pray about it? And then you'd let some sodomite rape you and just pray about it while he's raping you? I mean, I can honestly tell you I wouldn't do that. I would cave his skull in. I mean, that's what I would do. I would have to end the threat, right? But think about that. You're supposed to love your wife as your own body. So you're telling me that, okay, so you'd let a sodomite defile you? You'd let somebody defile your wife? You would let them, and you think that's Christ's position, is to let someone defile their wife? Right? Well, no, I wouldn't. I mean, how could you let somebody defile your wife? Or would you let someone defile? Because if you're not fighting some homo from raping you, then you're a participant in it. Are you getting that? Does that make sense? It's the same thing. If I would let somebody defile my wife. Or my children, and not protect them. Let's see. I think it's in the law. Let me see here. Maybe it's under maid. Let me see. With a rod and he die under his hand, he should be. Okay. And if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. If her father utterly refuse to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry virgins. That's not what I'm looking for. There's another one if she cry out in the field. I can't find it right now. Maybe it's in here. Anyway, there's one about a woman crying out and not doing anything, you know, that you're to do something about it. You know, you're not supposed to listen to their cries. And there's the cry of the weak. There's the cry of the defenseless. And God hates that. The fatherless and the widow. You shall not afflict any widow or the fatherless child. The Bible talks about that. Judgment of the fatherless and the widow, and loveth the stranger, giving him food and raiment. See, look how he says this. You loveth the stranger. You hate him if you don't give that, but you love him if you give them that. He's not speaking of letting them murder you. Let's see. Thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. You know, the concept in the scriptures is always defense of the weak. By the way, I got another one for you. Paul. This man was trying to stop the gospel from being preached. I would think going into a church and shooting it up is probably trying to stop the gospel from being preached. I would say so. Then Saul, also which is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. What happened there? Paul struck him with blindness. Isn't it interesting? We see that in Sodom. It says the men of Sodom were wicked before the and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Genesis 13, that chapter on rebellion, the number 13 rebellion. Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot's there, right? Chapter 14. Let's see. We go into chapter. Let's see. Abraham is trying to contend for Sodom. 19. Look at this. But before they lay down the men of the city, even the men of Sodom compassed the house round about, both old and young, and the people were very from every quarter, and they called unto Lot and said to him, Where are the men which came in unto thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out the door unto them and shut the door after him. Well, backslidden Lot's out there, right? And said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which are not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them unto you, and do you to them as good as in your own eyes. As is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Well, the angels didn't like that and said, no, you're not going to do that. You're not going to give your daughters. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon them, the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so they wearied themselves to find the door. What'd they do? They smote them with blindness, a bunch of perverts. Sounds like to me that God didn't want them to be hurt. Right? That's what it sounds like. It amazes me that you have people today that actually believe that you and I shouldn't defend ourselves, or that we should defend others. Because Jesus said, love your enemies. So if Jesus said that, that means that you can't defend yourself. How do you get that? How do you make that stretch? How do you act like Jesus is a different God than the God of the Old Testament? Kevin, the reason why is that because Lot was backslidden. He was absolutely backslidden, that's why. I mean, do you understand the logic of this woman? I want to show you how stupid this is, right? This woman Deuteronomy 22:27. Okay, we'll read that. There it is. Thank you, brother. For he found her in the field, and betrothed damsel cried, and there was none to save her. Okay, so you mean that if she cried, somebody was supposed to go save her, not just let her get raped? Wait. Are you meaning that we're you weren't supposed to just let her get raped because she was crying? You're supposed to just let it go? Oh, so they were to go help her if they heard her cry. Look at this. But if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. Do you see what this is? This is rape. And it's saying if he rapes her, he should die. So why put him in prison? Right? Why put him in prison? Hang him high. But unto the damsel thou shalt do nothing. There is in the damsel no sin worthy of death. For as when a man riseth against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so is this matter. For he found her in a field, and betrothed damsel cried, and there was none to save her. No one was there. Wait, you're supposed to save her? You're not supposed to just let her get raped? Well, I thought you were supposed to be passive and just let her get raped and just pray. You're supposed to look at her and be like, Lord, please make that man stop raping her. You know what the Bible, you know what my Bible says? Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's what it says. That's what God's word says. If you know to do good and you do it not, it's sin. It's sin. And I gotta kick all the effeminate men and women that back this garbage. I mean, I understand the women being that way, but when men are, that's right. Somebody said Jesus said not to take vengeance or revenge. He said nothing about defending ourselves, especially the weak and defenseless. That's right. Oh my goodness, people are so... I mean, I've never seen so much biblical ignorance in my life. It's just, it's atrocious. Well, I'll tell you one thing right now. I sure wouldn't want any of those people watching my kids. If you told me you'd let somebody sit there and rape my kid, or you'd let somebody sit there and murder my kid, and you wouldn't do anything to defend them, I wouldn't want you anywhere near my kids. You'd never watch my kids. You'd never be anywhere near my kids. They wouldn't be safe with you. That's just the truth. It's just the way it is. But you see, people think that somehow that defense just started in America. Look, let me show you the difference. The difference is this. If I'm out street preaching and the police go to arrest me, I'm not going to fight them. even though I'm right, I have the right to do that. I have the right to be there. I have the right to assemble. I'm going to put the cuffs on and I'm going to walk away. I'm going to walk with them. Why? Because it's civil government and they have authority. I understand that. But when some crazy psychopath wants to steal my kids, my family, and hurt my children, they want to hurt your children. I'm not going to sit there and let that happen. Why would I do that? Why would I sit there and watch? Look at the difference, too, in the church shootings. Let's see here. Hold on. Sutherland Springs church shooting. Let's see when this was. This was November. The Southern Springs church shooting occurred November 5th, 2017, when Devin Patrick Kelly of New Braunfels, Texas, fatally shot 26 people and wounded 20 others during a mass shooting at First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. The attack was the deadliest mass shooting and the fifth deadliest mass shooting in the United States. It was the deadliest shooting in America, place of worship in modern history, surpassing the Charleston shooting of 2015 and the Waddell Buddhist Temple of 91. Kelly was prohibited by law from purchasing and possessing firearms and ammunition due to domestic violence conviction. A few minutes after 11 a.m., Kelly arrived in a pearl white Ford Explorer SUV at the First Baptist Church in Southern Springs. He parked close to the door. Kelly stumbled out of the SUV wearing black tactical gear, ballistic vest, and a black face mask. Featuring a white skull and wielding a Ruger AR-556, he approached the church from the right, opening fire and killing two people outside the church, and continuing to fire on the building itself. He then entered through the right side door where worshipers were attending regular Sunday services, started to yell profanities, and he proceeded up and down the center aisle and shot at people in the pews. Police found 15 empty magazines capable of holding 30 rounds each. Authorities stated that Kelly fired approximately 700 rounds during the estimated 11-minute-long shooting. According to investigators, the shooting was captured on a camera set up at the back of the church. The footage shows Kelly methodically shooting the victims, pausing only to reload his rifle. Kelly also then confronted by the traded fire with Stephen Wilford, a local resident. So the local resident, he runs out, right? He hears the shooting and he runs up there and he takes care of it. But this guy had 11 minutes to kill people. Right? 11 minutes to kill people there. What did this guy get? He got 6 seconds. Do you understand the difference in that man having a firearm that he saved lives? 6 seconds he had. Because you know what happens to people? When you start going pew pew back, people don't like shooting at you. They start to run or they die. 6 seconds, 11 minutes to shoot people. They were sitting ducks in those pews and they just picked them all. He just picked them off. 700 rounds. So what's the difference? This guy, during his 11-minute spree of killing people, had nobody stopping him. He was just reloading, terrorizing these people. This guy, 6 seconds, done. Difference? Two people died, one being the gunman, right? Or three people, the gunman and two other people. Here, 27 people died. That's the difference. That's the difference. See how quickly that changed the game? Funny thing about criminals, they don't like being shot at back. They like victims. They don't like it when people shoot back. When people shoot back, they start to run. In situations like that, there's only one thing that stops crazy. Think about that. What was going on here? Williford approached and entered Lagendorf's truck on the passenger side, then pursued Kelly at high speed for about 5 to 7 minutes, according to Lagendorf. They drove at speeds up to 95 miles per hour. While chasing Kelly, Lagendorf called 911, reported their location to the operator, and they assumed the police were on their way to the church. During the chase, Kelly called his wife and spoke to her and the parents, informing them, "I just shot up the Sutherland Springs Church," and telling his father that he was injured and thought that he would not survive. Kelly repeatedly emphasized how sorry he was, bleeding from his injuries. Kelly soon lost control of his vehicle, hitting a roadside before crossing a bar ditch and the Hartfield Sandy Elm Road intersection, finally stopping about 30 feet into the field on the opposite side. Williford and Langerford observed that he was motionless, and police took over the scene when they arrived. Police found Kelly dead in his car with 3 gunshot wounds, including a self-inflicted head wound. 2 handguns were found in the vehicle, a Glock 19 and a Ruger SR-22 22 caliber, both of which Kelly had purchased. "26 people were killed and 20 were injured. The dead comprised 10 women, 7 men, 7 girls, 1 boy, and an unborn child. 23 died inside the church, 2 outside, and 1 in a hospital. The oldest victim was 77 years old. One victim was 14-year-old daughter of the church pastor, Frank Pomeroy, who was elsewhere the day of the attack. Visiting pastor Brian Holcomb died with 8 family members, including an unborn grandchild." See that? Guess what? That guy had 11 minutes to shoot people. This guy, 6 seconds. You telling me that God Almighty doesn't want you to protect people like that? You're just supposed to sit there and let them die? So this guy saves the lives of all the people in that room besides the one and the other that died. But in this place, these people were sitting ducks and 26 people were murdered by some guy just picking people off because he could. See the difference? It's amazing to me how people could think, how they can get on there and say that. See, you can say that when it's abstract theory, but I guarantee you, when any of these loudmouth women that are on Facebook that say those things, if any of those loudmouth women were in the room that day when that was going down, I can guarantee you they'd be thanking God that some man stood up, or woman, whoever, I don't care. It could be a man or a woman, I don't care who it is, stood up and ended that threat. All you have to do is look at the statistics and the differences there. And I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't go to a church that told me you couldn't defend yourself. I wouldn't go to that church. I wouldn't do that. What's sad is here's a Baptist church, and it's like, are you serious? Like, nobody had a gun there? Nobody had a gun? At all? Unbelievable. That nobody had a gun. But you know what? At this one, they did. You know, it's something, these houses of worship, though, are on the rise of these attacks. Are on the rise. New York synagogue attack. Machete-wielding suspect captured in NYC after at least 5 people wounded. At least 5 people have been stabbed in an attack at a synagogue in New York's Rockland County. That attacker is now reportedly in custody after fleeing the scene. Tony Ailo has confirmed a man entered Rabbi Rottenberg's synagogue on Forshay Road in Monsey and stabbed several people just before 10 p.m. Saturday. The suspect is identified as 37-year-old Grafton Thomas of Greenwood Lake. Thomas, covering his face with a scarf, reportedly started hitting people back and forth. Nothing. He didn't say anything. He screamed after me when I came out here. He screamed after me, "Hey, you, I'll get you," one witness told CBS2's Mark Liverman. He moved to the front door. He could go straight into the kitchen and the dining room the first thing. First, he went to the dining room and hit a few people there. Then he went to the kitchen, hit one guy there, and then he came back to the dining room. I ran to the other room because I tried to save my life. I saw him running down this way. So I ran out, and the two ladies came along with me. They're still hysterical, witness Aaron Cohn said. Shortly after midnight on Sunday, Rampo police announced Thomas had been arrested. Police tell CBS2 that he was taken into custody in Harlem. Reports at least 4 people were taken to area hospitals with injuries. 2 of the victims were rushed to Westchester Medical Trauma Center due to the severity of injuries. Both the Clarkstown Police Department and the Orthodox Jewish Public Affairs Council reported a total of 5 stabbings. Sunday morning, Governor Andrew Cuomo said one of the victims was still in very serious and critical condition with wounds to the head. So far, police haven't released any other information of the victims, although OJ PAC co-founder Yossi Gessner says one of the victims is a senior. This incident happened amid a rush of anti-Semitic attacks this week. Law enforcement in New York area and local areas are responding to the attack. So, anyway, he says they'll stop it from being a normal thing. And it honestly looks like the guy might be a Muslim of some sort. I don't know, though. Maybe not. I don't know. But they always hide that stuff. Anyway, the point is that there's another attack there. There's another attack there. That's right, Jim. He said this. If they believe this false claim of all those dummies lock their doors, why? If they believe this false claim of loving their enemies and giving to them, they would never lock their doors or lock up any valuables. Right. Yep, that's right. So, I mean, there's, it's not even consistent, the argument that they make. it's not even remotely consistent based on any real facts or any real scripture. It's not practical. As if God wants you to just let people harm others and not do anything about it. It's just, it really is strange. It's a very strange look at things. I don't understand people. Somebody asked me, so if the government does the killing, we should not defend the innocent? They were not killing. That isn't even an argument because they weren't killing people. See, that's how dumb people are. I'm sorry, but it's so ridiculous. It's just, it's so insane for these people. The way that they come across and their garbage arguments that they try to make. It's really sad how foolish people are when it comes to these issues. As if Jesus saying turn the other cheek was dealing with protecting the innocent life. That's what they try to make it out to be. And not your daily dealings with others. Right? Not your daily dealings with others. God wants his people to defend themselves and the weak. That doesn't mean we're looking to harm people. That doesn't mean that we're going out to, you know, like John Wayne, that we're like the Wild West or something. That's not what that means. It's just, it's such an irrational argument. It's really sad, honestly, that people become that dishonest in their argumentation. It really is sad. But you know what? That's the world we live in today. So, anyway, how's everybody doing here? Anybody got any questions or anything like that? I'm pretty much done with this as far as that goes. If you want to add something to it, we can talk about it for sure. I don't know if Jim's got anything to add to this. He did a study a while back on self-defense and that sort of thing. You know, it's becoming more and more of an issue, and I think also there's like this effeminacy of society, this effeminate spin on society now. To where men that stand up are really looked at like there's something wrong with them. You know? And it seems like to me that it kind of goes back to what we were talking about on Friday. You know, this effeminate society that we're creating here. It's just, it really is crazy. Someone told Nehemiah, Joseph, I was told if you die defending yourself, you'd lose salvation. Well, you don't get saved by not dying. And you're not lost because you defend yourself. You're lost because you're a hellbound sinner. So you can't lose salvation because you didn't earn it. You didn't pay for it. Christ paid for it. And when the Son of Man shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Somebody asked me, do you think this will deter any crazy shooters? Well, I know what. I know one thing. They wouldn't want to come here. They wouldn't want to come to a place that's armed, where men and women are armed, that really do believe in defending the life of others. So I would say in that sense, yeah, I don't see that happening. Daryl and Teresa, let me say this to you. Warning shots will get you in trouble. If there is a threat, then you end the threat. You do not fire warning shots. Warning shots will get you in prison. If there is a real legitimate threat, then you have to end the threat. Warning shots will not end a threat. I also believe that you ought to learn how to fight. You ought to learn how to defend yourself. You ought to learn, I did martial arts. I don't recommend all the occult stuff with martial arts, but I did martial arts. I did Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. I did ground fighting. I did a lot of things. So, you know, I believe in defending yourself. I believe in defending others. Absolutely. The guy at the church this morning was an expert. Yep. He said each bullet has a lawyer attached to it. It sure does. It's not fun. It's not fun at all. That's why there's insurance that you can get for an attorney if something happens, you know, to defend yourself, to be prepared for that. You know, because unfortunately, that's the way that it goes. Let's see here. Somebody posted the verse, 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Yep. I agree. This was yesterday. Would you suggest that it's good for a woman to learn jiu-jitsu or something like that? Yeah, I think ladies' self-defense is good. The only problem is it's hard to do that modestly, but in the sense of learning some of those things. But yeah, I absolutely believe that it's good. I think ladies ought to know self-defense. I absolutely believe that. Yep, I think that's important. Well, Cindy, you still need to know how to protect yourself. You still need to defend yourself. What spin will MSM put on this, you think, Pastor? What do you think President Trump will say about this? I think President Trump will say it's a good thing that guy had a gun. And it's a good thing good people have guns to stop bad people that have them. Absolutely. I think that's exactly what he would do. Or what he would say, probably. In that sense, I mean. Let's see. Anybody else say anything here? I mean, the essence of defense is to give your life for others. and to defend others. So I don't understand how people can say that. Oh, before I forget, pray for us too. Tomorrow night, midnight, well, we'll be out before then. 10, 11 o'clock, whatever, 7, 8 o'clock we'll start, whatever time. We'll figure that out. We will be out preaching Tuesday night. We'll be out preaching into the morning hours until New Year's Day, preaching the Bible, preaching the Word of God out there to lost sinners and those that are partying and getting drunk and all that other stuff. And I honestly plan on broadcasting live out there. So pray for us as we're out there preaching. And as we go out there and try to warn lost sinners to flee from the wrath to come and warn them that they need to be saved by the grace of Almighty God before it's too late. So you pray for us out there. We'll be out there. It'll be cold. It's going to be cold. The temperature's dropping here. It's going to be in the teens. And we'll be all geared up and ready to go. So you pray for us. I'll try to broadcast a couple times out there. I'll try to do a couple different broadcasts. We got some kids that are sick. Some have chicken pox out there. And others are fine, but they'll probably end up getting it. Who knows? Anyway, but pray for us with all that. No, I won't be doing any live on Wednesday. I'll be busy Wednesday. But we'll have some things at the church. All right, things, okay. I can't believe anybody could say, well, the government, if the government took them and arrested them, then would you kill them because you got to defend the innocent if they're going to put them to death? It's not the same thing. It's not a criminal that's grabbing somebody and murdering them and raping them. It's so ridiculous. And you could say that when you're a stupid, foolish woman that wants to talk that wants to act that way, that probably doesn't have to defend anybody, that just runs her big mouth. She doesn't have to defend anybody, so they can say things like that. That's what bothers me about women that run amok on social media. I know there's a lot of godly women out there on social media, and I thank God for you. I thank God for the ladies that are on here, and they have a good spirit, everything like that. I'm just telling you, there's some women that don't need a computer. They don't need a smartphone. They really need to not talk when they're out there. It's just unbelievable. Oh, that sounds nice. I mean, it isn't even like they really want answers. They just want to argue about things. Unbelievable. Ugh. Anyway, it's just nonsense. It's stupidity and nonsense. It's not even practical. Like, who even has to think about defending the defenseless? What anybody with any bit of natural affection in themselves. You could seriously watch people being hurt and not do anything for them? I don't know how you do that. Huh. Oh, silly women laden with sins. Yeah, I know. And it just gets me. It really gets me. Well, I wish it was that warm here right now. I'd be fine with it. And I'm really not trying to be unkind. I'm really not. It's just, it matters to me because you're talking about life or death here. And you got silly women saying stupid stuff and telling men, oh, you know what really bothers me? Because it's like, I don't want you to be a man. You got to think like a woman. So none of you men can be men. And don't defend yourself. Don't stand up and defend your families. But you got to be effeminate little wimps and walk around. And you try to picture, you got to try to make it so Jesus is like that. You try to act like my Savior's like that. And I'm like, you guys are nuts, man. You know, it's just, it's so ridiculous to act like Christ is that person. Anyway. All right, everybody. Well, God bless you all. I hope you have a good night. And take care. We'll broadcast live tomorrow, Lord willing, out there in the freezing cold tundra of Minnesota as we hand out gospel tracts and preach the Word of God. By the way, thank you for all that have sent gifts and things into the ministry to be a blessing to us and to my family and to the things of the ministry. We appreciate that. We're very grateful for that. Thank you. And those of you that pray for us, thank you so much. It's a blessing to have you pray for us, and we need your prayers, and we're very grateful for those as well. And thank you for being there, out there, and listening. I hope we're a blessing to you, and that we somehow add to you spiritually and help you grow in your holy faith and your walk with God. I pray that's the case. And you all have a good night, and we'll see you out there on the streets on New Year's Eve. Amen. Coming up here tomorrow. So praise God for that. We'll look forward to it. God bless you all. Have a good night.